Hi, this is Maria Olson. You may know me from Trophy Heads or Starry Eyes and maybe Paranormal Activity 3. And I want to welcome you to Anthony T's Horror Show because it's an awesome show.
Hi, my name is Jessica Cameron and you're listening to Anthony T's Horror Show.
Hey, fellow horror fans. This is Troy Escamilla, the director of Party Night and Mrs. Claus. And you are listening to Anthony T's Horror Show. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Anthony T from Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm currently not recording any news or anything because I have a lengthy open discussion on Vinegar Syndrome with Philip Perrone of Doc Discussions Podcast, which will happen quickly next segment after this brief message. But I will be back to give you a film that I've been watching. And I'll have some show news. I hope you enjoyed this open discussion of Vinegar Syndrome, which will take place after this. Every day, there's a family struggling with hospital bills to care for their sick child, who is fighting an illness. There's a woman who is fighting breast cancer and is having trouble making ends meet while paying for their treatment. And there are burn victims that are going through treatments to heal their deep wounds. There is a charity in the horror community that helps these people. Scares That Care is an organization that helps families deal with the bills for their child. They help women get the treatment they need to fight breast cancer, and they help people who are dealing with severe burns get the help they need to heal. Scares That Care is a 100% volunteer organization and 501c3 nonprofit charity that is dedicated to helping these people in fighting real monsters. To find out more information or to donate to Scares That Care, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. Every donation helps Scares That Care fight real monsters. Besides Anthony T's Horror Show, you can also listen to these other fine podcasts on the Doc Discussions Network. Doc Discussions, hosted by Philip Perrone and Michael Darwin. You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast. Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, a Westworld podcast. Halloween Boutique, Psychotronic Reviews. And Searching for American Gods. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And Doc Discussions is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Welcome back. I'm here with Doc Discussions podcast host Philip Perrone, as we are here to talk about our favorite Vinegar Syndrome films. As this is kind of an episode that I've been wanting to do for a while, because both me and Philip are really big fans of Vinegar Syndrome, as they've put out some really good films that you might not think or ever heard of. How you doing today, Philip?
Hi, Anthony. I'm doing quite well. Thanks for having me on, and how are you doing?
Good, good. When did you first discover Vinegar Syndrome?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I actually ran into them at a convention called Rock and Shock in Worcester, Massachusetts. Second biggest city in Massachusetts, third biggest city in New England. They used to have a convention there that ended last year. They decided to cancel it after 10 years or 20 years or whatever it was. But either way, I had just started going to conventions. So it was like maybe 10 years ago. I think it was basically the first year Vinegar Syndrome existed. They had a table there. And I went over to them and started talking to them and whatever, and I bought some of their discs. And I wish I had bought a few more, because a couple of them have gone out of print. But at the time, I wasn't familiar with how these boutique labels were, and sometimes they lose the rights after a certain amount of time. So I met them at Rock and Shock way back. That's how I heard of them. What about you?
I first heard of them back at the first TerrorCon. I would like to say maybe 2014, if my recollection is correct, as they had a booth there, and I recognized a couple of titles that were released from Troma Films, and the fact that I definitely picked up the Troma Films that they had at that booth. I think at the time they had, like, Graduation Day, Sugar Cookie with Lynn Lowry, and Lust for Freedom. And I really had to grab them because I was starting to get big into Troma at that time. But then discovered that they've started to move into the horror genre. And they were, like, picking up some of these weird titles. So it really got me interested in that label. And it really is nice to really pick it up at the time where it started to really grow as a label. Because back in the day, you would release adult films to start off as their main thing. Nowadays, horror exploitation is pretty much their main thing that they sell. They still sell adult films, but they've turned the corner from the original business model and focus it more horror base, which is really a good thing for this genre, as it's exposing people to films that would never get to see the light of day on Blu-ray.
Now, for folks who aren't familiar, TerrorCon, that's a convention down in Rhode Island, is it?
Yes.
Okay, yep, that's cool. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because they do release 4K, not 4K, but you know, HD versions of horror, grindhouse, and even, as you mentioned, adult films. And each month, they release usually 3 to 5 titles, and most of them are Blu-ray or Blu-ray / DVD combos, and it's a mix of all three. So it's interesting is that they're definitely going for the underground cult cinema crowd, and with the three different types of films they're releasing, it's getting a pretty good market of boutique label folks.
Yeah, I really think Vinegar Syndrome is maybe the third best label when it comes to boutique labels behind Scream Factory and Arrow Video. Because the amount of quality input that they do with their releases is just great.
Yeah, they're pretty solid. To be honest, Scream Factory is really good, but a lot of their films are like mainstream or bigger films. So even though they're cool to get all those discs and get all the extras with them, if you don't include those films, and some of their lesser-known films, their releases are more bare bones. So I would definitely agree with Arrow. And to be honest, Severin is pretty solid, too. They just don't release as much discs as other companies. Synapse is pretty good, same thing. They don't release as much. And Mondo Macabro as well. But Vinegar Syndrome... yeah, I think because of the amount of extras on all their discs, basically, and the amount of output they put out, I could say that they are probably the second best behind Arrow, but I still prefer them over Arrow because the films that Vinegar Syndrome usually release are more apt to be interesting to me, specifically the horror and grindhouse films. Though Severin, I think, may be my favorite if they released more titles than most. And I like do like Mondo Macabro, too. So it is tough. It is tough. There's a lot of good ones.
Yeah, there is definitely a lot of good boutique labels when they release stuff. Blue Underground would be another prime example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's the thing, is that there's a lot of companies that are really good, but they just don't release as many films as, say, Arrow or Scream Factory or Vinegar Syndrome do. And those are the three that probably release the most titles per month, I think.
Yeah, now, besides Vinegar Syndrome, they also own a store in Bridgeport, Connecticut called The Archive, which is definitely a great place for fans of these cult midnight movies to pick up new. And in fact, they may even have it like a week or two before the date for major retailers. So definitely, if you're in the Bridgeport, Connecticut area, definitely stop by The Archive.
I thought it was Stamford, Connecticut. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it's Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Is it? Really? Oh, all right. Yeah, all right. Yeah, you're right. How about that? And it's funny, too, because me and you both went together and visited it back last year in July or August. And, yeah, it is a pretty solid store. For some reason, I always thought it was Stanford. How about that?
Now that's WWE headquarters.
Right. And that's where Andy from The Office came from as well.
Yeah.
So folks who are in the Connecticut, specifically the Western Connecticut area, for vacation or just live in that area, should take a run down to The Archive in the middle of, like you said, Bridgeport, Connecticut. It's a small building, or in a sense, but it's in a factory area. And so it's not like a residential part of the city. And if you drive by, you may miss it. But as long as you have the address, which I do not have the address, but you can just search for The Archive, Bridgeport, Connecticut on any search engine.
Yeah, you'll get the address there.
Yeah. Just plug it into your GPS, which is what me and you did when we went. And we spent a good hour. We could have stayed there for another 2 to 3 hours. But
spend all day there.
Yeah. And that's probably the reason why we got in really late to the convention we were heading to in Virginia, because we spent a good hour or so there that obviously added to our running time to get to our final
destination. I think at one point I wished they had an archive in my state.
Yeah, well, there was a rumor they were originally, that's what they told us when we visited them. They said they were going to put one in Providence, Rhode Island, and then
something happened.
Yeah, I think it was the building that they were going to rent. The people decided not to rent after all, and it went off the market. And so they didn't bother looking for a second place. Yeah.
Yeah, because I really think they could expand it maybe another area or two.
Yeah, if folks who aren't familiar with the New England area, there's a couple of companies. One's called the Newberry Comics, and another one's called Bull Moose. And Bull Moose is more northern New England, while Newberry Comics is generally all New England. And they have all pop culture stuff. So obviously they have comic books and things like that, but they have records and movies and all that. And the Archive is very similar to them. So I think you're right. I think they have the ability to expand and maybe even become like a Bull Moose or a Newberry Comics.
Yeah, which would be very good for this area, quite frankly, because we don't have a movie-centric store in the Rhode Island area.
Don't you have the Newberry Comics in your area?
Yes, but when I go there, it looks like they're getting away from it.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah,
and they're going more into being Hot Topic.
Yeah, I agree. Or Spencer's Gift or something like that. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. So they usually don't have as much as they used to.
Right, right. Yeah, they're trying to diversify because they're worried that the hard copy of movies and music are going digital. And so I think they're worried. So they're trying to expand to have memorabilia and things like that, and are pulling away from the hard copy of movies and music.
All right, let's get to our list of five films. But first, do you have a couple of honorable mentions?
Yeah. I actually had a list of a total of 10 films, and then five of them landed up in my honorable mentions. There's a number of them I have that I just haven't seen yet, because I have a large collection of discs that I haven't seen, and like I stated, I collect the other ones like Mondo, Macabro, and whatever. So I'm not always watching Vinegar Syndrome, but I did pick some honorable mentions, and I have them here. I have Massage Parlor Murders, which is a pretty good grindhouse horror film. Double Exposure, which is a horror film very similar to the erotic thrillers of the 1980s and 90s. Jack Frost, which was actually a surprise release by Vinegar Syndrome, and is a big cult film, and is really, really good. Mausoleum, which has been a disc that people have been waiting for years, and it finally got a good HD release, and that is a really good horror film. And then Beware My Brethren, which was a very obscure one, oddly, that was pretty solid, related to a church and all that, which was pretty solid. So those would be my five honorable mentions. Again, there was a few others that weren't horror, like you mentioned that Woman in Prison film that you bought way back when you first saw them. What was it, the trauma one?
Lust for Freedom.
Yeah, Lust for Freedom, that I would have put. But as we're here, we're pretty much sticking to the sci-fi horror list. And so those were my five specifically related to sci-fi or horror.
Now, my honorable mentions are going to first be dominated by the films of Norman J. Warren. I could have easily put two or three in my top five, but I really did not want to do that.
Now, Anthony, before we hear your list, including Warren's films, the five films I mentioned, had you seen any of them?
Mausoleum I've seen. That's a good film. Trying to think, what were the other?
Yeah, Massage Parlor
Murders. No, I've not seen that.
Okay, Double Exposure.
No.
Jack Frost.
Jack Frost, I've seen. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, and Beware My Brethren.
No, I have not seen that one.
Okay, fair enough. So maybe there's some films to check out.
Yeah, my honorable mentions will start off with Norman J. Warren's Bloody New Year and Prey. Prey could have easily been on my list, but I really did not want to put another Norman J. Warren film because I didn't want my list to be completely Norman J. Warren-centric, so there's a reason why that's not on the list, but it would have been on any other circumstances. For other honorable mentions, Troma's Graduation Day, that was a very entertaining slasher film that people should check out. I also would have considered Cutting Class as well, the film with Brad Pitt in it, which is one of the highlights of last year's Black Friday the year before's Black Friday sale. Excuse me?
So that's 2018's.
Yes, 2018's. Yeah, we like had like five covers, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, I remember that.
That's another good one. I would also probably put, I believe it's Crypt of the Living Dead. I'm not 100% positive on the
It was on a double feature.
Double feature, yes.
Yeah, okay, yep, that's good.
It just reminded me of that film. That's another good film that I overlooked on my list. All right, let's move on to our top five list.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of those films. I own all of them, including the vampire one that you mentioned. That was I bought the day I met Vinegar Syndrome. But the other four, and including the double feature vampires, I just haven't seen yet, believe it or not. They're on my to-watch list, and I just haven't watched them yet.
All right, so what is your number five film?
Well, I didn't put them in a specific order. I put them in alphabetical order. But
okay, let's go by alphabetical order.
Yeah, well, I'll go backwards, because my fifth film is obviously the higher letter in the alphabet. So my fifth film is Slaughterhouse. This film was filmed out on the West Coast, low-budget film by an aspiring director, and they got him to do the commentary and a bunch of back behind-the-scenes footage and interviews and all that. And the movie itself was a random pick I decided to watch a summer and a half ago, and it was a hidden gem. Most of these are hidden gems, because none of these films I've actually seen until may have heard of them until Vinegar Syndrome, and I order them blindly and I put it in, and that was really a solid horror film, a slasher type from the 80s.
I'm going to stay on the West Coast with my number five film. And this is a film that probably shouldn't be on my list, but I just can't help it. It's like one of my favorite guilty pleasure films of all time. And it's also probably the best guilty pleasure film that Vinegar Syndrome has released. I'm talking about Psycho Cop Returns.
Yeah, that's a great film.
That film fits all the requirements for a guilty pleasure film. Whether it's blood, whether it's TNA, this film has all the required elements.
Yeah, the one-liners, the awesome cult-type killer. Yeah.
Think the way I view this film nowadays is it's the movie right before The Ranger. Because I feel like in some way there's similarities between Officer Joe Vickers and The Ranger, who we managed to meet last year at ScareCon New England.
Yeah, I see those similarities. I wouldn't be I would like to talk to the actor that played the Ranger again and ask him if he knows if the screenwriter had seen this film when they were creating the villain for the Ranger.
Now, here's something that you might have not known. I know you're a big fan of NBC's The Office.
Oh yeah.
The guy who plays Officer Joe Vickers, Bobby Ray Schaffner.
Oh my God, you're
was
right.
Was Vance on The Office.
Oh my God, you're right. I never got that connection.
I never knew that until I saw
Vance from Refrigeration.
No, I never knew that until I saw New Jersey Horror Fest promoting him as one of the guests at their convention.
Oh my God, you're right. That is so funny.
I never knew that.
Nice to meet you. I'm Bob Vance from Bob's Refrigeration.
The film also has cult film actress Julia Strain in it.
Sure does, yeah.
And is directed by Adam Rifkin, who is one of a few directors that is still working today that has had a film released by Vinegar Syndrome. Because you can't say many of these directors who've had films released by Vinegar Syndrome are still working today. In a little teaser, I'll have another director that's currently working on films later on this list. What is your number four, Philip?
All right. By the way, have you ever seen Slaughterhouse by any chance?
No, I have not seen that yet.
Oh, definitely.
I've never seen it for some reason.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. Okay, so the next one I'll mention, alphabetical order backwards, is Raw Force. This is a 1982 Filipino-American horror action film directed by some guy named Edward D. Murphy. I don't believe it was a common film, but what happened was is a lot of folks were going to Philippines back in those days to do their movies because it was cheap, and the Philippines were offering a lot of incentives back then. And so this one was done there. It's basically a zombie film, and basically a group of like kung fu like club are on vacation, and they get stuck on an island that has a cult that raises the zombies. And so you got karate people fighting or kung fu people fighting zombies and cultists. It has a really good cast of B-movie folk, a lot of TNA, a lot of gore, action-packed, and another surprise, random pick off my shelf that I hadn't watched yet, put it in, and it blew me away with the entertainment value that it had.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I was just going to say, I just recently picked it up at their last sale.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Camille Keaton has a small role in it, too. Folks who are fans of I Spit on Your Grave, this came out a couple of years later, and she has a small role in it, among other people.
My next film is a film that I completely ignored when it first came out. I kind of literally passed this film off because it really didn't look like my type of film. Plus, it wasn't sold on the box art until a friend showed me this film, and I really liked it. After the first segment, it's called The House of the Dead. It's pretty much a low-budget version of Tales from the Crypt or The Twilight Zone. This is a film that just literally builds on from the first segment to the last segment. It has some really good performances in this film, which is a rarity for a Vinegar Syndrome film, as most of the films you will see in Vinegar Syndrome are like over the top, but this is more of a cohesive anthology film. Each of the segments were different, which was good. If I had to choose my favorite segment in this film, it would be the one with the inspector and the detective. Even though that was pretty much not a horror segment, it really was a great exercise in how acting can get a segment of an anthology film over. And the wraparound segment was just gold. Definitely check out this anthology horror film if you have the chance. It's under a lot of titles, including Alien Zone, which makes no sense with the film. It may make sense with the first segment, but not the whole film. But it's usually known as The House of the Dead. I would highly recommend you pick it up if you love anthology horror films. Have you seen this one, Philip?
I have not. I have it on disc, but I have not seen it yet. And I think mainly because it's an anthology. And though I like anthologies, I'm not a huge fan of it. So it has been pushed back unintentionally because of that on my pile of films that I'm planning to get to.
Like I said, I pretty much ignored it when it first came out until a friend showed me the film. And I was just amazed of how most of the segments were just great. It's a rarity you see a Vinegar Syndrome film where you actually have some acting that is very good.
Nice.
Your next film.
I have to copy you. My next film was Psycho Cop Returns, as a matter of fact. So I was agreeing with you. This 1993 horror film by Adam Rifkin is one of the best I've seen from Vinegar Syndrome. I guess, like you said, it's a midnight movie, so you called it a guilty pleasure, but most of these films are, to be honest. But it was fun. Kept my attention the entire time. The kills were good. A lot of eye candy. A lot of really, really good-looking women starred in the film. The horror elements of like I said, the blood was really good. And it has an over-the-top villain that makes it fantastic. And now that I know that Bob Vance of Vance Refrigeration stars in it, it makes it even better.
I'll talk more about what I want to see later on, but I really want to see them release the first film as well. I've seen the first film. I think it's a much different tone than the first film, but it's actually, I think, the better of the two films, but I'll talk more about it later. My next film is a trauma film, and it's from a director that's still directing, as he's recently directed films such as Out of the Dead and Bus Party to Hell. Talking about Roloff Krasinski's There's Nothing Out There. Now, this was his first feature film, and this is also a film that I owned previously when Troma released the 20th anniversary edition of the film. Now, this film is pretty much Scream before Scream, with all the movie references. There's even a gag in the film where someone swings off of a boom mic, which I think is intentional, and it really gets a really good laugh. It's one of those scenes that will pretty much judge if you really like this film or not. Krasinski's direction here also was very good. I like how the screenplay does a very good job developing the action. It had also interesting characters, which really made this a fun film. I really liked that Vinegar Syndrome picked this film up for Blu-ray. It's that's a film that should have been Blu-rayed by Troma, but thankfully Vinegar Syndrome has come in and saved the day and picked the film up for Blu-ray release.
Yeah, I actually have the Troma and the Vinegar Syndrome, so I haven't watched the Vinegar Syndrome version of the film yet, but had I would have most certainly put this as a top five as well, just as a film. This is a great film. It's really fun. It's got a alien element or sci-fi element to it. Like you said, it has the Scream ideas before Scream. There's blood and TNA, dark humor, and the director, as you said, Kanevsky, he's pretty good. Always is, does a lot of B films, but they're usually always pretty solid. I had seen his film Nightmare Man with the
Tiffany Shepis.
Yeah, the After Dark, 8 Films to Die For. I had seen that film, Nightmare Man, at the theaters, and I really liked that film when I saw it on the big screen. And ever since that film, anytime he comes out with a movie, I check it out, and this here is by far one of his best.
Definitely. You could tell from that film that this guy would have some sort of career.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And he has. I think he's done stuff for Vinegar Syndrome. Not Vinegar Syndrome. For Full Moon or whatever that. Full, Charles Band Company. I think he's done some films over there too. So he's done pretty good for a guy that hasn't been able to get mainstream or big budget films.
Yeah, he's also written screenplays as well.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Yeah, that's right.
Your next film, Philip.
All right. Yeah, this one is, I believe, another Tromer release, similar to what you said. And this one is called Pigs. This is a film that came out by them a few years ago and really was a surprise for me, like most of their films that I've seen. This one, actually, even though it's a Tromer release, it actually has a more drama element to the film, which is kind of interesting. It basically is kind of like a character study of a couple of folks, and has a little crazy ending. The director, Mark Lawrence, also stars in it, and he co-produced and co-wrote it, and he spent his own money to get it made. And then he got some interesting folk to star in the film with him, and I would give it a high recommend. It's definitely a little different than most horror films that we're talking about, because even though it is a midnight movie, it's not like tongue-in-cheek like many of them. Have you seen this one?
Yeah, it was a good movie. I have to admit, it was different from what I'm used to seeing from Tromer, but it was a good film. And an interesting fact about the film, the music was done by Charles Bernstein, the composer of A Nightmare on Elm Street. He did the music for that film.
That's right, he did. Yep, you're absolutely right. That was a good catch. And this film came out in 1973, so 11 years even before Nightmare on Elm Street. So this is one of his early films.
My next film is another film that I picked up before Vinegar Syndrome picked this film up. And I also boast, I think, one of the best slip covers they've done. And yes, this is also the first film that I was introduced to Norman J. Warren's work, and it's a film called Terror. Now, this film is a very gothic supernatural horror film. I like how this film relies on the mystery of the supernatural causing all these horrific deaths. It really had a good story. Everything moved by at a very good pace, which I enjoyed. I thought the performances were very good. And it really helped sold me on Norman J. Warren. And if it wasn't for that film, I would have not seen Prey. I would have not seen Bloody New Year. And I, quite frankly, would have never seen Inseminoid if it wasn't for this film. And the fact that this film is very good, the death scenes are handled very well, is definitely one of my favorite Vinegar Syndrome releases. I would have put this film on top if it wasn't for another film that's just also very good. And the film also features a brief cameo from Peter Mayhew, who people might know from a little film called Star Wars, as he briefly makes a cameo in the film. This is definitely a film people should check out, as I truly think this is one of the Vinegar Syndrome's best released films, alongside one of the best films they've released.
Now, a question for you. Did you see Satan's Slaves too, right?
Yes, I did see that too. Right. I totally forgot about that one.
All right. Now, yeah, that was a good one too. But I haven't seen the Vinegar version of it, even though I have it. What I have a question for you about Warren. What made you say that you probably wouldn't check any of his films out? Did you hear something about his work?
No, I never heard of him before. Gotcha. Terror.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So usually when I like watch a director, you usually have to put out a film that's really good for me to say, oh, maybe I should take a gamble on Prey or Satan's Slaves or Inseminoid. Terror is just a great gothic supernatural horror film. And it's really well done. It's really, quite frankly, would have been their best release, period, if it wasn't for the Spookies Blu-ray that they released, I believe, last year or the year before. Even though it's not going to be my favorite Vinegar Syndrome film, that is like my favorite release overall because of the abundant amount of extras.
Right, right. Nice. Yeah, I have the Terror. I haven't watched it yet, though.
It's a very good film.
Yeah, yeah. Good. I'll have to check it out. Right. Well, I don't know if it's my favorite, but alphabetically, the lowest letter that I had here is another trauma film, Luther the Geek. This film was another one that I picked up. The title sounds a little silly and ridiculous, so I wasn't sure how it would play. But then I watched it, just took a chance, and I felt it was really, really good horror film in the 80s style that a lot of folks are familiar with. I haven't seen as many 80s horror films as most folk until these Blu-rays started coming out. So Luther the Geek felt fairly fresh for me. It has some really good blood. Has a really famous TNA scene from Stacy Hadouk, who's known for a lot of daytime soap opera TV. The villain is a crazy creation and a really good, I guess, I don't want to say monster, but I guess the term simply is villain. And it is a really good midnight movie for sure. Have you seen this film, Anthony?
Have it, but I haven't seen it yet. Okay, still sitting with like 10 million other Vinegar Syndrome / trauma titles that I've been wanting to see but never had the chance to see yet.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is a 1989 film and solid midnight movie horror film.
Now, my favorite Vinegar Syndrome title is a film that I could not understand why this film was so big when it first came out. I just couldn't understand for the life of me. And it's not Mausoleum, because at least I knew Mausoleum was released by Code Red beforehand. But this film, it's like, what the hell? It's like, I think one of their Black Friday sales, that film pretty much sold out, I think, its first run. I think the second run of the slipcover, which I immediately grabbed, because I wanted to see what the hell the hype was about. It's a film called Midnight. It's a midnight film, obviously.
And now, this ain't Spookies, because
no,
I know you like that one.
No, this ain't Spookies.
Okay.
No, I got that with the package.
Right.
Last time around. It's Liquid Sky. This is, I believe, a 1983 film, which I could not understand why people were buying that film like it was crazy. But the best way to describe this film is if David Lynch made a film about aliens, and the exact result would be a weird and trippy film throughout. Because this is one of those films where you see a lot of psychedelic imagery. And it's very good, because it really conveys what's going on. This is a film that's also very well acted. The film's director, which I'm not going to try to pronounce, as it's very hard to pronounce his name, really does a very good job creating a surrealist tone.
It's Slava Sukerman.
Slava Sukerman, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I could not pronounce that. That is such a hard name to pronounce. But Zuckerman does a very good job making sure this film has this weird, trippy tone, whether the way the film looks, whether the way he directs his cast, and whether the way he handles each of the scenes. This is a trippy ride that really needs to be seen, and it really goes into the early 80s of the dance clubs and drugs in the New York area. It's a very trippy sci-fi film. It's not for everyone, as people might be turned off with some of the film scenes, but this is a film that is definitely a great film, and I think it's very underrated. You can see Liquid Sky on Shudder. Definitely check this film out. If you're not going to purchase the Blu-ray, check it out on Shudder or Amazon Prime, because this is definitely a weird, trippy film that really is very effective up until its shocking conclusion.
Yeah, I have this disc too, and I remember when it came out by Vinegar Syndrome and all the hype around it. It actually has excellent reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for folks who care about that thing. And it's gotten reviews by some important publications too, not just, you know, bloggers, but things such as Boston Globe, Variety Magazine, Village Voice, and the New York Times. So it's definitely been passed around the art house horror crowds and got its dibs by mainstream media, or reviewers, I should say. And it says that it's here, I'm reading on Rotten Tomatoes, a glitzy updating of Andy Warhol's Trash, but with aliens and whatnot. So part of the new wave scene. So, you know, all that the Cars and Blondie and all those bands back in the day. The plot seems very interesting based off what I'm reading here. I won't say what it is because folks should probably go in blind, because I honestly wish I didn't read this and I had just gone in blind myself. But it's a really interesting premise, to be honest. So I'll have to move that close to the top of my list to watch, because I have it, and I'm actually looking at it right now on my bookshelf or disc shelf, because it has a striking slip cover as well. So, yeah, interesting choice.
If you're a fan of David Lynch, you have to see this film. Right. Guaranteed, if you're a fan of David Lynch, you will love this film. I just don't think this film is for everyone.
Yeah, it's I read here that it's definitely for a selective audience, for sure, yeah. But cult film fanatics, it appears, really like it a lot. Like you said, it sold out pretty quick.
Now, Philip, what film do you wish Vinegar Syndrome would release?
Sure. There's a handful. Some of them I saw as a kid, but they're from the 50s. So I don't know if Vinegar Syndrome would go for 50s films, but I Was a Teenage Werewolf or I Was a Teenage Frankenstein or a couple. But if we want to talk about more of the range of films they do, specifically the 70s and 80s, I guess a film that I never seen, but I've heard a lot about, similar to like Mausoleum when they released that one. There's another one that everybody always talks about too, that they wish would come on Blu-ray, though I have no idea if the quality of the film is any good, even though it has a really cool movie poster. And that's a film called Blood Beach from 1980.
Oh, I've heard about this one.
Yeah, so that would be kind of cool. to at least get to see it and to get to see it in a really good format. And it's a title that is always mentioned. So that, I guess that one, because yeah, like Mausoleum would have been my first choice hadn't they released it, that during last Thanksgiving time. So with that already passed and focusing more on 70s or 80s horror films, that would be one. And another one would be Three on a Meat Hook, which was 1973 came out, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, supposedly the folks that made that film, including Toby Hooper, supposedly got some of their idea from Three on a Meat Hook. So that would be another one that I wouldn't mind checking out, even though the hype of the film and people wanting to see it may be more than the quality of the film itself. But if we could get a Blu-ray version, that would be kind of cool. So I guess those two films for a 70s and an 80s film.
Now, I can give you two films easily. First one is Psycho Cop, obviously, because I've seen the film already. Because for a short time, it was on Amazon Prime. And Psycho Cop, to me, felt like a different film from Psycho Cop Returns. It still had the humor of Joe Vickers, but it felt a little more serious in the fact that instead of an office building, he's basically going after a group of teens partying at a house. But it felt like it had more of a serious tone. Plus, I also thought, I think the action was better in that one compared to Psycho Cop Returns. Plus, I think the characters are more likable in that one as well.
If I could ask you, interject for a second, is it the same actor that Bob Vance?
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he was in both of them.
Okay.
So that would be one that I would really want. And another film that I would really want Vinegar Syndrome to take on might not be like everybody's choice. In fact, it was a film that played on Mystery Science Theater 3000. I'm talking about Soul Taker, film starring Joe Estevez going after a bunch of teens who died and trying to capture their souls. For some reason, I like this film. I don't know why I like this film, but I like this film. It also has the late Robert Zadar in it as well. That's another film I would love to see Vinegar Syndrome put out, because I feel like that film just gets ignored.
Right.
And Joe Estevez was like a B-movie staple in the late 80s, early 90s, as you could see him in plenty of films during that period. Direct to video.
Oh, and you know what? He's actually part of the Martin Sheen family, too. He's Martin Sheen's brother. How about that? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Yeah, so he's
you would never know it.
Uncle of Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen. How about that? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just wish that film came out on Blu-ray. I don't care if there's any extras. I'm just surprised we don't see much Joe Estevez stuff on Blu-ray.
Right. Yeah, I've seen the poster for this film, but I'm not really familiar with the film at all.
I remember seeing this both on Mystery Science Theater 3000 and on the Sci-Fi Channel when they actually played sci-fi and horror films. Not what like they play today.
Right.
That was like back in like the early 90s.
Right.
During the first days of the channel.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at Estevez, too. He's actually was in The Zero Boys. Which is kind of interesting. Yeah, but the Arrow, I think that was an Arrow.
Yeah, that's an Arrow release.
Yeah, and that was a really good
good film, but I just...
Oh, I love
I
that
still
one.
Can't get over the ending of that film.
Right, right. Yeah, but all in all, I like that one. If we were doing an Arrow... That would have been on my Arrow top five.
I don't know if it'd be on my top five, but the director of the film is very good. I'll give props when it's due.
Kelly Maroney's in it, too.
Yeah, Kelly Maroney is in it, too, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a film to check out, but it's also one of those films that you wish you had a better ending. Because I was just like, it's like one of those abrupt endings where you're saying to yourself, what the hell? It's like, there's got to be more to this. So, I probably would not put it as one of my favorite Arrow releases, but the director of the film has done some good work. I know he has a Scream Factory release, Nightmare at Noon, which is definitely worth checking out.
And who's this, the guy that did Zero Boys?
Yeah.
Nico. Nightmare?
Yeah. And I think he also has a Vinegar Syndrome film, too. I think erotic thriller.
Really?
I think In the Cold of the Night.
Oh, yeah, I got that. That's supposed to be awesome. I haven't seen
it. Yeah, that's
like that.
A good film. Not horror-related, to be on this list.
Oh, it isn't? You don't think so?
It's more of a thriller, erotic thriller.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Look at that. He did Island of Death. Yeah, he's done some good.
Hard to Kill.
Yeah.
AKA
some good
the
horror
film
films.
Where Oliver Reed gets drunk.
Yeah, which film is that?
Hard to Kill.
Yeah, Hard to Kill, yeah.
Oh, you need to see the bonus features.
Hard to Kill. Oh,
Nico
Blind
really
Date.
Tears into Oliver Reed, calling him unprofessional. Kill.
Well, at that point, he was, Oliver Reed was, as we would say, substance abuse of alcohol to the point of, like, incompetence. So he had some issues by that point in his life, yeah. So doesn't forgive for not being professional, but it's what it is.
We better start wrapping up because we're starting to get way off topic.
sure, yeah, no problem. Yeah, so Soul Taker, you said,
yes.
Would be one. Very good.
Okay. And Psycho Cop.
Yeah.
Because it's a crime that film's not on Blu-ray.
Right, right.
Because I've actually seen the film. That film should be on Blu-ray. Because the last time I know who had the rights was Filmrise. Now it's off Amazon Prime. Now back to where it was before. Non-existent. It's amazing with these rights sometimes. They can be funny.
Yeah, I know. It's too bad. That's the thing, is that some of the indie companies, they just sit on them, and or if they're not even owned by a company and they're only owned by a director or something, it's hard to get a hold of them. And then a lot of the mainstream companies that have these smaller films don't even bother releasing them because they don't think they can make any money off them. So that's the reason why a lot of these films just disappear for large portions of
time.
Yeah, exactly. Time. Yeah, you know, so it's unfortunate.
Yeah, and you very rarely see indie horror films get repressed, too.
Right.
Even though Wild Eye's been pretty much repressing their library lately, which is surprising.
Who is this?
Wild Eye Releasing.
Oh, they are? They're finally re-releasing some of their movies?
I know they're re-releasing some movies.
Right.
Is done from a friend of mine from the convention circuit.
Right.
That's getting re-released.
Right.
They've been re-releasing some stuff quietly.
Right.
Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
It's better than
yeah.
having it sit there like some other companies do.
Right.
Release it once and just have it sit there for 10 years.
Right. And then they never reprint it again.
Yeah. So I'll give Wild Eye credit.
Yeah.
At least they're reprinting their some of their library.
Sure. Yeah, I got a couple of their discs. I got the most recent I bought was House on Elm Lake. I heard that one was pretty good, so I picked it up. I haven't watched it yet. So.
Yeah, they're a good company. At least they're putting out quality content.
Right.
They're just not throwing films out there like some other labels.
Right. Yeah, sometimes it's unfortunate if you want the disc, because if you get the disc, you can watch it whenever you want and you don't have to worry about it going out of print. Some of these companies like Wild Eye aren't necessarily releasing everything on disc, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but at least they're releasing, at least they're trying to use their library.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I've seen companies i.e. Lionsgate, that likes to sit on their releases for years.
Right, right. Yeah, they were actually beginning to release some of their stuff through
Vestron.
Vestron, yeah, but they've slowed off a little bit. I don't know. They mustn't have got the money they felt they were hoping to get, so they slowed off, which is unfortunate.
It is. Yeah. That's the problem I always have with Lionsgate. They like to hold their library hostage.
Yeah.
When people want the stuff.
Yep.
I really think they should go to a Scream Factory or Arrow. They'll take care of it better than they have.
Yep, that's true.
Because there is money to be made.
Right, right.
Because you could do better editions for some of their catalog films.
Yep, exactly. Absolutely.
All right, let's wrap this up because...
Yep, sounds good.
We're pretty much almost at the hour mark.
All right.
How can they find Dark Discussions on social media and on the web?
Well, Dark Discussions is found at www.darkdiscussions.com. So we have a website and all of our podcasts are there, a weekly podcast that discusses a genre film. We have spinoff podcasts that I'm on, including our Westworld podcast called Bullets, Brothels, and Bots. And then the website also has other people's podcasts, including yours. So anybody who wants to listen to any of your episodes, they're already available at darkdiscussions.com as well. And you can find us wherever podcasts are found under the RSS feed, Dark Discussions Podcast.
Well, it was very nice chatting with you again, Philip. Have a good day and stay safe.
All right, my friend. Thanks for having me and looking forward to the next time you... invite me on.
I will have you on again. Don't worry.
Very good.
Hey guys, this is Steven Christina. I'm the founder, owner, creator, and host of Super Retro Throwback Reviews. Are you looking for the best movie reviews, music reviews, video game reviews, and Comic-Con coverage all around? Well, then look no further. Definitely check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on YouTube and our new audio podcast, the new and improved Super Retro Throwback Reviews Audio Files version 2.0 on the following media distributors: Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify.
Class is over, John! Now for something new and improved!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
This is Carrie.
This is Billy.
This is Mr. Bo.
And we are from A Podcast from Beneath. You can catch us every Wednesday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
For the latest news and information on Anthony T's Horror Show, you can check out Anthony T's Horror Show on social media platforms at Anthony T's Horror Show on Facebook, Instagram, and the Slasher app at Anthony T's Horror on Twitter. Anthony T's Horror Show can be found on YouTube as well at YouTube.com/AnthonyTherber. Find Dark Discussions on the web at www.darkdiscussions.com, and you can find Anthony T's Horror Show on the web at anthonytshorrorshow.blogspot.com. So, what's Anthony T watching? Since I recorded the Vinegar Syndrome open discussion well before the most recent Vinegar Syndrome sale, I could not include this film on this list because, well, it was not released at the time of the open discussion. Now, this is a film that I, like I said, picked up at the recent Vinegar Syndrome sale. And it's a film called Pale Blood. Now, this is one of the first films from Vinegar Syndrome to be licensed to them by MGM. I love it when major studios license these lesser-known titles to these boutique companies like Vinegar Syndrome. Hell, I even wish Lionsgate would do the same thing. License their stuff to Scream Factory. But I do have to give Lionsgate credit. They finally are going to release one of David Cronenberg's most disturbing films, Shivers. So that's a start with Lionsgate, since they're actually back to using their Vestron video label to release their catalog titles. Now, if they can get Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2 on Blu-ray for the first time, I'd be a happy person. But we're getting way off topic here, as we're talking about Pale Blood, the film that was recently released by Vinegar Syndrome. And this is a vampire film that is very different from all the other vampire films. This film also plays as a mystery, and it's what really makes this film very good. It's also a film that I probably would have included in my top 5 Vinegar Syndrome films. Because this is definitely a top 5 Vinegar Syndrome film that they've released. And one of the main reasons why I liked this film was the direction from Vivi Da Chin Shu. If I pronounce it wrong, I apologize. As sometimes I have a hard time pronouncing names. But her direction in this film was very good. I liked how the fact she does a very good job making sure she gets the performances that she needs out of her cast to make this film a very good film to watch. And I also liked how the action was directed here, as it really felt like a vampire film and not some over-the-top action-packed vampire film with buckets of gore. I like how it was kept to a decent amount, as it allowed the dark and gothic tone to take over the film, which really, in my opinion, made this film very good. As I'm a person that loves vampire films, and I love vampire films that have a gothic tone, have interesting characters, have a sense of eroticism, and have this really dark feel to it throughout. This film does a very good job in achieving all those aspects, because this is a film where I never got bored. I've seen this film now twice since purchasing this film, as I believe this is the film's Blu-ray debut, as I've never heard of this film before until Vinegar Syndrome announced this title. I definitely was going to pick this up because it's a vampire film, and I love vampire films. So that was an easy sell for me. Another thing that I really loved about this film was the fact that it has two very good lead performances from George Jacares, who people might know from West Side Story, and 80s B-movie superstar Wings Hauser. Yeah, that Wings Hauser from Vice Squad, Nightmare at Noon, and Mutant. Both of them in this film are very good. I really liked how both of those actors really played their roles very well. It really added to my enjoyment of the film. As you can have a good story, but you also need really good performances. And both those actors in this film had very good performances that really kept me interested in those two characters and their dynamic with each other. It really made for some really good moments in the film, especially towards the end of the film. But I'm not going to give any more away about this film. It also helped that this film has a very good soundtrack from the cult punk rock band Agent Orange, as it really added to the vibe of the film as well. I really highly recommend you pick up Pale Blood. It is a very good, very different type of vampire film, while also having all the elements you need for a successful vampire film. So definitely pick up Pale Blood, which is currently available on Blu-ray from Vinegar Syndrome. A couple of quick show notes before I wrap up for this episode. Next episode, in episode 47, I will be having a double interview episode. No guests have been announced at this time. Keep an eye out on Anthony T's Horror Show's official Facebook page. In episode 48, I'm going to try to bring someone special onto the show. Maybe a name that you may know from the past or the present. Stay tuned, as I will try my best to get a name for episode 48. Also, between episodes, I was a guest on Shock Treatment with Mel and Maddie, as I was interviewed on their podcast. Definitely check it out. It's the episode called The Anthony T. Experience. Check that out in some other episodes of their podcast, as Shock Treatment with Mel and Maddie is a very good podcast that people should check out. It's on the Dorkening Network. With that, have a good day. Stay safe and support indie horror.